Joining us right now, he is Arash Madani with Sportsnet, the only Columbus Blue Jackets fan we know. How's it going, Arash? Are you gonna?
I'm well. The beloved with a heroic and courageous win.
Yes.
Yesterday over the Nashville Predators.
We were talking about Rick Nash, and he was obviously started there in Columbus, had his best years with the Columbus Blue Jackets, but it never really worked out the way that it should for a player as good as Rick Nash.
Four playoff games.
Yeah. It's terribly disappointing, but Rick Nash still, like, it was a case of the team not being good enough around him more than him falling short, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're quick to give credit for people when they succeed, but you know, he was the face of the franchise, and the organization should have done more for him. But how many years was he in Columbus, and four total playoff games as a Blue Jacket?
Yeah.
It's unreal.
It's not quite what you would expect, but
right.
Still a pretty darn good career by the numbers for Rick Nash, and he called it today. So you break the news on Russ Martin. I did not expect this to come down. Were you surprised by the Jays moving Russ Martin?
No, I'd heard kind of murmurs at the end of last season that if they could find a trade partner, and the Blue Jays were quite willing to eat all but, you know, $2-4 million of this deal, that that they would make that move. They want to go in a different direction. They have Danny Jansen, who's going to be their number one catcher. They have Reese McGuire as the number two. And to be quite honest, the mentorship role was not something that Russ Martin really embraced. I mean, he knew what the deal was in September. He was okay with it then. But that wasn't going to be the way Martin was going to go out. And so it was just a matter of how much were the Blue Jays going to pay, or how much were they going to eat of that salary, and were they going to find a trade partner. And I thought Milwaukee may have been an interesting destination for Martin, and then they made their move this week. So L.A. makes sense. They're a veteran team that's knocked on the door. They've been a back-to-back World Series. Russ knows that market. He knows that organization, having played there. But surprised, definitely not. This was something that has been in the works and in the plans for quite some time.
How much do, Arash, the Jays lose in Russell Martin, in that veteran presence, in that clubhouse, and kind of just being a guy that's been around? I mean, they're getting younger and younger and younger now, and, you know, we've heard the stories about the clubhouse kind of being weirdly divided, but Russell Martin was a guy that kind of, you know, made things better. Do they lose a lot in losing a guy like him?
At this stage of things, Irv, no, they don't, because they're going in a completely different direction. I mean, they're completely rebuilding. They're going with a youth movement. I know what you mean. You want some adults in the clubhouse. I think Justin Smoke represents that. I think Kendrys Morales represents that. And Devin Travis, I guess, at this stage a little bit. But, you know, Russ Martin, the last month of the season, everybody got to see what kind of presence he was going to have for next year, for this coming season, in this role. And that it just really wasn't something he embraced. You know, Martin's a proud guy who still feels he can play and he wants to play. And so at this stage of things, when he doesn't want to kind of be that, the Blue Jays can move on, and that's what they did.
How do we look back on this Blue Jay era where they do get to a couple of straight ALCSs, Arash, but ultimately fall short? And now, pretty much with Martin gone, there's very little of that core remaining.
Well, I think if you look at it, Russell Martin was brought in before, you know, the summer of 2015, before Tulowitzki, before Price, before Revere, before Mark Lowe.
Right.
He was brought in right around the same time they made the deal for Josh Donaldson. And Russ Martin was a big part of not only the renaissance of the Blue Jays in Toronto and across Canada, but also he has helped this pitching staff quite a bit. And when you think back to his first couple of seasons in Toronto, he was integral. You know, he was an integral part of what they were able to do and what they were able to achieve. But like Tulowitzki, and especially with Martin, the Blue Jays knew, Alex Anthopoulos knew, by the end of this contract, there was going to be a reckoning here. There was going to be a point in time where the Blue Jays were just going to have to eat this last part of the contract, but that was a way to get him in the first place. You know, it was an $82 million deal, but that's what you had to kind of pay up to get Martin when he was at his peak in the middle of free agency. Russ Martin was a huge part of the Jays in 15 and 16, and if not for him, they probably don't make the runs that they did.
Sportsnet's Arash Madani joining us here on Reach Deep. Dan Riccio and Irfan Ghaffar, Reach Far today. I got to get that right. So, Arash, when we look forward, and there's still all kinds of trade rumors with this team. Marcus Stroman does settle outside of arbitration, gets a little over $7 million today. Is this going to quiet rumors, or do you think this is something that continues on into spring training and into the season?
Yeah, I think if Marcus Stroman had been healthy for much of last season and wasn't dealing with the blister and the shoulder problems that he had at the beginning of the year, it'd be a totally different conversation. But right now, they're just not going to get real value for Stroman for what he's worth. And so as a result, I don't see this kind of lingering. I think the Blue Jays want a lot more than other teams in the market are willing to give up for him. So, you know, if I'm looking into my crystal ball here, I see Stroman being part of this team going into spring. I see Stroman being part of this team, barring, you know, a team having real injuries and needing to panic, a contending team. And then if Stroman has a real solid start to the year, if Stroman's done well going to the All-Star break, if it's the Stroman of old, maybe then they deal him at the deadline. But the Blue Jays want a lot for him, and at the moment, teams are not willing to pay it.
Yeah, it's going to be a tricky situation as the year goes along. Arash, I know you got to run. What do you got for divisional round weekend? I know your Vikings aren't a part of it, but
thank you, Kirk Cousins.
who do you like moving forward here in the NFL?
I tell you what, fellas. I've never understood why people have wanted to count out the Patriots. As soon as something kind of goes wrong in the first couple of weeks of the season, they're saying, okay, could this be the end? People just can't wait to see the Patriots go down. This is the weakest Patriots team in January I can remember. And I just find it fascinating that the Chargers have yet to lose a game when getting on a plane this year. Every
crazy
road game that they've had to travel to, they've won, other than when they went across town to face the Rams. I really think this may be the Chargers' time. And as much as Nick Foles has been sprinkling fairy dust on everything, you know, he's not a quarterback, he's just a magician who can make the unthinkable happen. Nick Foles looked like a guy whose ribs were really bothering him. He got crunched at the end of that Washington game, you may remember, week 17. And a lot of those balls were kind of hanging and floating, and he got away with it against the Bears. I don't see that being enough against New Orleans. I think in an indoor fast track, the way the Saints are able to run, I think Drew Brees rolls all over them.
Sportsnet 650.